Nishnatam absorbed. Yoga Mayasu in temporary enjoyment. Munem, who is equal to a saint. Swayambhuvam, Swayambhuva. Manum, Manu. Yat, from which? Abramsayatum, to cause to deviate. Boga, material enjoyments. Na, not. Seku, were able. Bhagavat Param, who is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Thus, Swayambhuva Manu was a saintly king. Although absorbed in material happiness, he was not dragged to the lowest grade of life, for he always enjoyed his material happiness in a Krishna-conscious atmosphere. Purport. The kingly happiness of material enjoyment generally drags one to the lowest grade of life, namely degradation to animal life, because of unrestricted sense enjoyment. But Swayambhuva Manu was considered as good as a saintly sage because the atmosphere created in his kingdom and home was completely Krishna conscious. The case is similar with conditioned souls in general. They have come into this material life for sense gratification, but if they're able to create a Krishna-conscious atmosphere, as depicted here or as prescribed in the revealed scriptures by temple worship and household deity worship, then in spite of their material enjoyment, they can make advancement in pure Krishna consciousness without a doubt. At the present moment, modern civilization is too much attached to the material way of life or sense gratification. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement can give the people in general the best opportunity to utilize their human life in the midst of material enjoyment. Krishna consciousness does not stop them in their propensity for material enjoyment, but simply regulates their habits in the life of sense enjoyment. In spite of their enjoying the material advantages, they can be liberated in this very life by practicing Krishna consciousness by the simple method of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Meghinata Madam Dasha, Jananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur and Moitam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Karamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. So, we're talking about Swayambhuva Manu here, and it's being stated that despite the fact that he was a king, because of the way he lived, he didn't get, as Prabhupada explains in his purport, he didn't get dragged down to the lowest grade of life, namely degradation to animal life, due to unrestricted sense enjoyment. See, kings have great facility for sense enjoyment in general. But Swayambhuva Manu, he was a Rajarshi. He was a saintly king. He was, he was as good as a saintly sage. So he had, he arranged his life in such a way that, you know, he was able to be a king, but at the same time, fully Krishna conscious. And that saved him from getting entangled and engaging in material enjoyment and getting entangled and degraded to animal life like that, or just some lower grade of life. And Prabhupada, interesting in the purport here, he points out that Swayambhuva Manu is not like an isolated example of this principle. Actually, Prabhupada expands it to a principle. He says, "And the case is similar with conditioned souls in general." See, so Prabhupada's using the specific example of Swayambhuva Manu, and now he's going to make a principle out of it. And the principle is that they have come into this material life for sense gratification, but if they're able, they meaning like conditioned souls in general, if they are able to create a Krishna-conscious atmosphere, as depicted here, or as prescribed in the revealed scriptures, by temple worship and household deity worship, then in spite of their material enjoyment, they can make advancement in pure Krishna consciousness without a doubt. So at least up to this point, Prabhupada doesn't explicitly state it in those couple sentences, but it seems like he's talking about grihasthas, because grihasthas are, you know, mostly engaged in deity worship, household deity worship like that. So, you know, let's say Prabhupada is using grihasthas as an example to illustrate the principle that he's just delineated, which is that, you know, conditioned souls have come into the material life for sense gratification, but if they're able to create a Krishna conscious atmosphere, then they can also not be degraded and be Krishna conscious. Then, as the purport progresses, Prabhupada seems to broaden it even more. You know, as he's already made a principle out of the example from Swayambhuva Manu, and now he's going to even broaden. It's like in like a needle, out like a plow. He's broadening his example here. And he goes on to say, at the present moment, modern civilization, see, now he's talking about the whole modern civilization, as opposed to just maybe grihasthas. Modern civilization is too much attached to the material way of life or sense gratification. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement can give the people in general, not just grihasthas, people in general, the best opportunity to utilize their human life in the midst of material enjoyment. Krishna consciousness does not stop them in their propensity for material enjoyment, but simply regulates their habits in the life of sense enjoyment. In spite of their enjoying material advantages, they can be liberated in this very life by practicing Krishna consciousness, by the simple method of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I don't know about anybody else, but what I'm hearing here is an expression of great mercy. This is great mercy. What's being stated here is that Krishna consciousness is being offered to the conditioned souls at the bargain basement price. You know, this is like all you got to do, Prabhupada's saying, the best opportunity in the material. Simply regulates their habits in spite of their enjoying material advantages. So even they're enjoying material advantages, but if they can be liberated in this very life by practicing Krishna consciousness by the simple method of chanting the holy name. So this is bargain basement price. You know, this is like something very valuable being offered very cheaply. I mean, just to give an analogy, just imagine if you went into some really imagine if like Tiffany's or, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue or Brooks Brothers. I mean, that's from my era. Those were stores that were considered very high end. You know, imagine they're running a sale and they're making available these very precious gems at a very low price. Okay, and you could come as you are. You know, you don't have to come in with a suit and a tie or something. You just come with your dog and your smelly socks. In other words, Krishna's really making this available. This is what, what's being expressed here, that the mercy is really, being poured out there, that just simply, despite, you know, even though they're enjoying material advantage, just by the chanting of Hare Krishna, one can, become liberated, as it says here, by that simple method. But, and this is Prabhupada trying to, you know, encourage everybody, you know, by this type of hearing, this type of information. Elsewhere, though, he does give us more information. You can't just take one purport as like the whole philosophy. We get more information in other parts of the Bhagavatam and other things that Prabhupada said about how we have to, how this chanting has to be done. There is a Ideally, there's a specific quality that it should have. There's a very nice song by Lochan Das Thakur called Shri Shri Gaur Nityanandar Daya, in which he reiterates what Prabhupada is saying in this purport. He says, I won't try to do the Sanskrit or Bengali, I'm not even sure which it is, but the translation is, Lord Nitai and Lord Gaurachandra are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduce the process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. Okay, so that pretty much we've just kind of heard in so many different words in this purport. But then he goes on to say, my dear brothers, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification, become absorbed in worshiping Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any material motives. I'm just reading the translation here. So the idea is you've got to be serious about it. That's what he's saying. You know, it's not like if we just do the chanting very whimsically or lackadaisically, that we're going to get the desired result. We'll get some result, some undoubtedly some benefits there, no matter how you chant Hare Krishna. But to really max it out, as the expression goes, to get the maximum benefit, the optimum benefit, it should be done with, as he says here, firm conviction and faith, which, determination, giving up the desire for sense gratification. And a really important aspect of that, and even in doing that, is trying to chant with determination. This morning I had an interesting experience. This happens to me quite often. I'm 72 and a half now, and despite the fact I'll have a good long night's sleep, I'll still wake up tired and sore and aches and pains in different parts of my body. So anyway, I managed to kind of pull myself out and get to Mangalarti. But when I sit down to chant my japa, I sat down, and like many mornings, I feel like, oh man, this is going to be hard. I don't have hardly any energy. My knee hurts. My back hurts. But I got to do this. So hang on a second. Sorry. Somebody's very excited about my class and messaging me. Okay, there we go. How am I going to do this? So I remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, well, to practice yoga, one should be in a secluded place and sit on a seat that's neither too high nor too low. So I thought, okay, I just remembered that. So, maybe that'll make it easier. So I got a couple of those mats, and I folded them up and stuck them underneath, and that did help. I kind of propped myself up a little bit, get my backside up, and I was able to sit up straighter, and that helped, and I felt like a little bit better. But still, I don't have much energy, so it's going to be hard. And then I remembered another verse from the Bhagavad Gita. I remember this chapter 6, text 24, where Krishna says, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. Goes on to say, one should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. So in regard to determination, that was what I kind of focused in on, zeroed in on when I was reading that. I was, we have to be determined. Krishna's saying you have to be determined. And Prabhupada elaborates upon that in the purport. And everybody's familiar, I won't read the whole thing, but everybody's familiar with that story about Prabhupada gives the sparrow. The story of the sparrow is an example. How the sparrow got its eggs stolen, I guess you could say, by the ocean. And the sparrow became frantic, the sparrow couldn't really realistically think that he could dry out the ocean, but anyway, he or she was determined to give it her best shot because she wasn't just going to let those eggs go, she wasn't going to let it happen without a fight. So she started, trying to beak by beak empty out the ocean. So word got out that was what was going on, and finally word got to Garuda that sparrow was trying to do that. So Garuda came and, asked the sparrow, okay, what's going on here? What's happening? And sparrow explained to him. And Garuda said, okay, I'm going to help you. And then Prabhupada says here, thus Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this, and he returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. So then in the next short paragraph, Prabhupada said something which really kind of caught my attention. He says, similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. And I was thinking, yeah, you could say that again. But then I read the next sentence. Prabhupada says, but if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. And when I read that, I thought, okay, that's something that could work. You know. Anyway, what I came away with from that is, okay, what's, you know, because what I heard something I was interested in about how God will help those who help themselves. The Lord will surely help. God helps those who help themselves. And what do I have to do? Well, Papa said you have to follow the principles with great determination. So I thought, okay, that makes sense. Follow the. And I said, well, maybe I could start right here because, you know, one of the most basic, important first principles of devotional service is the chanting. So I thought to myself, okay, here I am. I'm going to, you know, I just kept it open. I mean, I'm telling you this because I did it and it worked. It really was very helpful. I had the book open to that exact page in purport, and I put my finger right underneath those two words, great determination. And I was sitting there in my seat that wasn't too high or too low, and I just was kept chanting. And every now and then I glanced down at the book, and I just looked at those two words, great determination. And Papa uses this phrase sometimes with reference to the context. I don't know if you ever heard him say that, with reference to the context. So just by, you know, casually just glancing down, you know, every couple minutes, and I see those words, great determination. And I remember the rest of the sentence. You know how Prabhupada's saying, if you chant with great determination, if you engage, follow the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help. For God helps those who help themselves. And it took about 5 to 10 minutes, but it just kind of evolved, and I found myself like just making a decision. Okay, I'm going to chant now, right now, right here, this morning, you know, with great determination. I'm not going to get up and, you know, walk around and look at this and that. I'm just going to sit right here, and I'm going to just get into this chanting, and I'm going to chant with great, and it really helped. You know, I found myself becoming more and more determined to chant, and as I became more and more determined to chant, it became easier and easier, and I can't say I, you know, experienced great ecstasy. I didn't, but I definitely found it very helpful in you know, just being able to focus and chant. And so I just wanted to share that with everybody. That was really helpful. And I don't feel like, I know, you know, once Prabhupada was asked, when you're chanting, what are you supposed to think about? And Prabhupada, at least on that occasion, Prabhupada said, think about? He said, when you chant, just hear it. Just hear the mantra. It's not, you don't artificially try to think about anything. You just try to hear the chanting. So that's the ideal standard. But anyway, this was helpful. You know, I found this helpful in helping me, you know, get focused and, you know, on the chanting and stay in the ring, so to speak, and keep fighting. And it actually, as time went on, it got easier and easier because I just had made up my mind, okay, I'm going to apply what Prabhupada is saying here, follow the principle with great determination. I'm going to start with the first principle, chanting. I'm going to chant right now my japa with great determination. So that was good. And yeah, so if we chant like that, you know, we should all try to do that. Chant, as Lochan Das Thakur says, with great determination and giving up desire for sense gratification. But I think there's two things that are being requested, you know, that you have to chant with determination and give up the desire for sense gratification. But I think one comes before the other. We're not going to be able to give up the desire for sense gratification without doing this chanting with great determination. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter, there's that verse, Vishaya Vanivartante Nihahara Shadehina Rasa Varjam Asopya Shad Padam Drishva Navartate, that the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the desire still remains. But the solution is, Krishna gives a solution in the next sentence. He says, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So that's my understanding of the process, how it works, how we're going to actually be able to come to the stage of giving up the material desires for sense gratification. It's by being serious about the chanting, being serious about the process in general and the chanting in particular. And by doing that, we're giving ourselves the best opportunity to experience a higher taste. And then, according to Krishna in that verse, when we experience a higher taste, then we'll be able to become free from, you know, the desire for sense gratification. And another point is why I kind of felt not guilty about doing this. I know there's a purport in the fourth canto where Prabhupada says that one shouldn't look for Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan, but rather one should look for Krishna in the instruction of the spiritual master. So I felt like, okay, you know, it's not ideal I should be just sitting here and chanting and just hearing the chanting and nothing else. And then if, you know, the pastimes of Krishna start getting revealed to me, all well and good. But this was, you know, I felt this is something bona fide. You know, this is Prabhupada's instruction. Chant or engage in the principles with great determination. So, you know, I'm not looking for Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan, but taking shelter of the instruction, the words of the spiritual master. The words of the spiritual master, just even a few of them, very powerful. Very powerful, and it really helped. So to support this point that I'm trying to make about how, and Prabhupada makes in the purport about how just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can become Krishna conscious by this simple process, I'd like to cite or read something that I just heard recently in a lecture Prabhupada gave in Montreal. And he's basically talking about this same thing. So on that occasion, Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, in this age, 99%, or at least 90%, they live by serving others. Therefore, it is said, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In the age, in the Kali, in this age, almost everyone is Sudra. There is no Brahman, no Kshatriya, no Vaishya. And then he goes, but then he goes on to say, well, there's a few Vaishyas, but anyway. But then he goes, says, let's see. So this Krishna consciousness, it's not for Sudras, though. You know, he's saying everybody's Sudras, but Krishna consciousness is not for Sudras. But by Krishna consciousness, one is elevated to the standard of becoming Brahman. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, everyone can come to the stage, the brahminical stage. And then he goes, only one has to observe these four principles and chant Hare Krishna. Then you are at once more than a Brahman, Vaishnav. So Prabhupada's, you know, getting a little, as I said, a little bit more into it than today's purport. He's making the point that, yeah, you can be anyone, even anybody, regardless of their background, can be elevated to the beyond the brahminical stage, to the Vaishnav stage, by just following the four principles and chanting Hare Krishna. He says, you at once become more than Brahman, Vaishnav. Vaishnav position is more than Brahman. And then he goes on. It doesn't matter where or what he is, but everyone should be given a chance to become Vaishnav, whose position is more than a Brahmin. That is the highest gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's claiming everyone to the highest stage of Vaishnav. Then a devotee asks a question. He says, but I'm still wondering, is it the nature of Kali Yuga that mother and father always separate? Is it the nature of Kali Yuga that this family separation is always happening? So somebody asks some question. Prabhupada laughs and he says, therefore I say, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. In the Kali Yuga, there are only Sudras. There is no Vanashram system. And he goes on to say, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. The Kali Yuga, almost amongst the Sudras, there is no ashram. Simply earn money and eat. That's all. That is Sudra life. There's no question of Vedic culture. There's no question of knowledge. Simply labor. Get some money and eat, almost like animal. So at the present moment, in the Kali Yuga, it is accepted that everyone, almost everyone, is Sudra. But then he goes on to say, but do you mean to say that because everyone has become Sudra, the science of Krishna consciousness or Krishna consciousness should be stopped? No. Even they are Sudras, they should be given that opportunity. And that opportunity is given by Lord Chaitanya very liberally. Whatever you may be, come on, sit down, chant Hare Krishna, and you become more than a Brahman. That is the highest gift of Lord Chaitanya. There's a little bit more here. Now, even though people are in the status of Sudra, they should be given opportunity for spiritual advancement. And that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special gift. And very easy, that whatever you may be a Brahmin, you may be a Kshatriya, Vaishya, that doesn't matter. Chant Hare Krishna and gradually realize. And then gets really, this part's really nectar. So a devotee asks a question, but suppose a person is born in a very poor family. What does that mean? Suppose someone is born in a very poor, low, very low, and can that person become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada says, yes. Krishna consciousness is open to all. just like we are calling everyone, come and chant Hare Krishna. It is open to all. There is no question of being poor or rich, but if anyone, if he takes advantage, that is up to him. We are not restricting here that only the rich persons or Brahmins or pious family or rich family can come. No, everyone. Everyone is welcome. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamhi Partha Vipasracha Yepi Suya Papayonaya. Poor family or uneducated family, uncultured family, they are all called papayoni, sinful family. But Krishna says, never mind, even if he is in a sinful family, whatever he may be, if he comes to me, he can also enter into the spiritual kingdom. So there's no such restriction. And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 9:32. He says, Param Gitam means the highest perfectional life, and that is practical. Here, when people come here, we don't inquire whether he is rich or poor, this or that. Come on, sit down, chant Hare Krishna. The opportunity is equal for everyone. And then Prabhupada, so then this devotee asks another question about, but how is it that people from such a background can actually, you know, take to Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada says, that is the grace of the devotees. The devotees offer their service, and they, meaning the general populace, get the opportunity. Never mind what he is, it is the grace. Therefore, when Bhagavat says, Yad apashrayashrayam, apashrayashrayam means a devotee is already under the protection of God. And if one takes protection of a devotee, he also becomes a devotee and becomes purified. Therefore, a devotee is more merciful than God. Even in God, there is consideration, pious, impious. For a devotee, there is no such consideration. Everyone come. What is the purpose of opening so many centers? Just to give people opportunity to take advantage without any consideration of his position. But if one does not take advantage, it is up to him. That independence everyone has. We are inviting everyone to understand Krishna consciousness, but nobody is coming. Prabhupada, this is 1968. Prabhupada hadn't really got rolling yet. But what can we do? Those who are fortunate, they are taking advantage. That's all. So we've become fortunate, and we have to try to make other people fortunate. So I'll stop there. I don't have any time for questions or comments. Thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Ki Jai.
Supposed to happen.